Let's come back to our algorithmic scheme. Okay? So, feasible direction. We choose a feasible starting point. We check if it is stationary. If not, we find somehow a feasible descent direction, and we perform a step along that direction, satisfying the Hermite condition. Through this procedure, we take a step gamma, or a gamma between 0 and 1, to the s power, where s is the minimum integer such that the Hermite condition is satisfied. Okay? We discussed this property here, but we did not tell how to perform these two steps. The check of stationarity, and if the check says the answer is no, then how to choose, how to find, really to find, a direction which is both a descent direction and a feasible direction. Okay? First concrete method I'm going to give you is known, extremely well known, in particular in the engineering community, and it is named after two people, Frank and Wolf. You have already met the name of Wolf. So, it's well known as the algorithm, as the Frank Wolf algorithm. Or, if you want a more, significant name in terms of the content, the conditional gradient method. And you will see the reason of this name in a minute. In Italian it is gradiente condizionale. Okay? And conditional is related to the fact that you have a feasible region. Okay? So I want to check if a current point xk is stationary or not. I want to know if this quantity here is greater or equal than 0 for every x in the feasible region. How can I perform this? Well, I could try to find the minimum value of this scalar product for all the x's. Okay? I can try to solve this problem. I want to minimize this quantity subject to x belongs to capital X. Okay? Let's see. X equals xk is a feasible solution. Okay? So this is your objective function. Let's call it let's call it g of x, gk of x. And x equals xk is a feasible solution, and the value of this function at xk is 0 because this is the 0 vector. Okay? So the minimum is always less or equal than 0. Okay? If the minimum is 0, it means that this quantity is greater or equal, than the minimum value, which is 0, everywhere, for everyone. So if the minimum of this problem is 0, the minimum value is 0, then you are at the stationary point. Okay? If the minimum is negative, then the optimal solution of this problem provides you an xk bar. Okay? So here you have two situations here. This minimum value is 0, then you have stationary. This minimum is negative, could be also minus infinity. Then, take, let's say it's finite, let's say capital X is compact, take X bar and minimum point. Let's say take as x bar, xk bar, the minimum point of this problem.
Yeah.
Okay? Because at xk bar, this quantity is negative. Okay? So, solving this optimization problem here, we answer at the same time the two questions here, the two unsaid steps of the procedure. Okay, I solve this problem here, and according to the result, I know if we are at the stationary point, or if there exists a feasible descent direction, and the optimal solution provides one. I would like to hear some objection to what I'm telling you. Okay? So I will be the devil's advocate and make it by myself. Okay, so if I have to solve this, why should it be easier than solving the original problem? Okay? I just changed the objective function, but my original problem was to minimize f of x over capital X. Okay. Here I'm telling you, actually, Frank and Wolf are telling you, solve this problem at each iteration. Okay. It seems a bit strange because it's telling you solve the same kind of problem I want to solve as a sub-problem. Okay. True, but only to a certain extent. There are reasons why they are not actually the same difficulty. Solving this problem is not always the same difficulty. So, first of all, this method, conditional gradient by Frank Wolf, makes sense, algorithmically, only if solving this problem here is much simpler than solving the original problem. Okay. A good reason why it should be, in general, easier is the objective function here. Okay. Remember that xk is fixed. Okay. So, this is a given vector, this is a given vector, the unique variable is this one. So, which kind of function is this? Vector of coefficients times vector of variable minus a constant value. Okay? It has this shape. Let's go see the gradient. The objective function has this shape. So it is? Yeah, it is linear. Okay? So, since we have also this term, it is affine, but it doesn't involve. So, the objective function is, let's say, linear. And here, the objective function is n. So, first thing, it should be easier, because I'm minimizing the linear function over the same set where you are minimizing f. F is not linear. Okay, minimizing a linear function over some feasible region capital F is something we did not need yet. Except for a case that you have met, but not in this place. So if you minimize a linear function with linear constraints, you are dealing with linear programming, okay? Programmazione lineare. So if capital X is a polyhedron, then this is a linear programming problem, and you have plenty of algorithms, you have plenty of software tools to solve it. Okay? So linear constraints, it means that the subproblem is a linear programming problem, you know how to solve it. Why is this method popular, or has been popular for decades among engineers? Because in their problem, generally, the constraints are linear. Okay? So they have a lot of, let's say, reasons, traffic networks. I'll show you some examples next week. And the constraints are linear. They are flow constraints, so they, or capacity constraints, so they are pretty simple and linear. So this is the reason why the method is popular. But it could be not that difficult to solve it. X is not necessarily a polyhedron, but has some nice shape. Okay. But in the case the constraints are linear, here you are saying, as a subproblem, solve a linear programming problem with any software tool you want. Okay. You go into MATLAB and there's a linear programming function or routine to call, for instance. Okay? And it allows to perform these two steps together. You can easily prove convergence exploiting this result here. Okay. The convergence result is the following. Let's suppose capital X is compact. Then any cluster points of an infinite sequence generated by the Frank-Wolf algorithm is a stationary point for our problem according to this definition of stationarity here. Okay? How do you prove this result? I'm not going to give you the proof, but the proof lies here because this is what you are getting here. Okay? You are getting that this value here is the minimum of this. Okay? When you take the limit, you are saying that this optimal value is going to zero. Okay? This is the rough idea of the proof. Okay? Here, at each iteration, this minimum value is exactly this scalar product here. And the result we already, let's say, discussed before, tells you that this optimal value is going to zero. Okay? So you have just to take care a little bit of the sequences, of the convergence of the subsequences, but the idea is here. Okay? The optimal value of the subproblem goes to zero. And when the optimal value of the subproblem is zero, you have stationarity. Okay? If you take the suitable sequences at, carefully at every step of the proof, you get that everything converges right away to what it has to converge. Okay? So, I prefer not to bother you with 5 minutes of proof. And so, That's it.
This algorithm works under the function of the property.
Absolutely. Okay. You need to use this property, so you need the assumption on that proposition. Or that the capital, or that the region, visible region capital X, is compact, or these other conditions that we discussed about sublevel set being compact, plus choosing the direction in a suitable way, making sure that the direction are bounded. Okay. If you take any of the two situations, then you prove you get convergence. Okay, so we have a complete algorithm here. Choose an x0, solve this sub-problem here, where essentially what you are doing, you are taking a linearization of the objective function. I will come back to this in a moment. Then, find the optimal solution, and compute a step to move away along this direction given by the optimal solution according to Hermite rule. Okay? And you get convergence. A final remark here. F of X is F of XK plus the gradient of F of XK times X minus XK plus residual. This is Taylor, okay? So, forget about this, which is a constant value, okay? Here, at each subproblem, you are minimizing the linear approximation of the objective function given by the Hermite formula. Okay? This is another way to say it. I replace the function with its linear approximation given by the Hermite formula. I minimize it, I get to the new point, I update all this stuff, and I iterate. Okay? The closer the residual for your function is to zero, the faster it should get. And conditional comes from here. Comes from here. If here you take the whole space, is the case we have seen at the beginning to find minus the gradient as the steepest descent direction, okay? Because here you are minimizing this all over the full space. You cannot do it because otherwise it would be minus infinity, so you restrict to consider unitary vectors and you get minus the gradient, okay? Here you cannot get, you won't get minus the gradient because there's this constraint here which is telling you that some choices are not feasible, okay? Generally, minus the gradient will not be feasible. Okay. So my point was to show you some examples to show that though it is very popular, pretty simple and nice to describe, the algorithm has some meaningful issues. Okay. Anyway, you still find many papers by engineers, traffic engineers in particular, using practice. Okay. Whenever it is reasonable, they try to use it.
Very bright.
Do you see? Okay, I want just to give you a simple example. Do you see this? Okay. Up there, function of two variables, x1 squared plus 5 times x2 squared. Okay, we use this function a huge lot. The unconstrained minimum point is 0, 0, okay? And the level curves are an ellipse centered in 0, 0, okay? So my idea to show you is to minimize this function over a rectangle, okay? A rectangle this other one, okay? Function is the same, and we minimize over this rectangle here, where the low point of the rectangle is 1/2 minus 1.5, okay? And then on the x, or on the y, okay, we see it's a rectangle where this is the low point and these are the length of the sides. It's easier if I run it for you. Okay, it asked me a starting point for the algorithm, and then we will come to it in a minute. Okay, so this is the picture. Okay, this is our rectangle. Okay, the minimum of the function all over the whole space is here. Okay, where do you expect the minimum, the actual minimum on our physical region to be? Yeah, here you see the level curves there. As they go away from zero, the value increases. So it will be some ellipse here, which intersect the rectangle just in this point. Okay? So you will see that the optimal solution will be 1/2 0. Okay? And I want to show you the algorithm, and I chose this starting point here. Okay. Another issue with these algorithms is that you need to find a feasible point to start with. Okay. If you have this type of constraint, it's pretty easy. Okay. But if you have a huge number of constraints, that could be some difficulty to overcome as well. Okay. But here it's pretty easy. So, the point is the following. I'm in that point there. I take the gradient, okay, at that point. The gradient at that point will be, I would need a particular, like German professor which always teach this thing. The gradient will go this way, okay, orthogonal to the level curve, okay. And I want to minimize the gradient times x for all x's in the box. If you remember something a little bit by linear programming, this is the direction of maximum degrees, this is the direction of maximum degrees. Okay? So the optimal solution will be here. Okay? And indeed, the algorithm solves a linear programming problem. Okay? And yeah, it finds this as x0 bar iteration. So we will move from here to here, okay, according to some Arminian rule. Okay. I made a little trick. Actually, I'm not taking the Arminian rule. I'm taking the exact line search. Okay, with t between 0 and 1. I didn't tell you, but you can prove the same result also for the exact length search. Actually, you prove it with Armico, and then you see that you use the exact length search, the same proof work. Okay? Just because if you do the exact length search, the value of the function at the new point is less or equal than the value of the function at the point given by Armico. And then you use this remark, and the proof is the proofs are exactly the same. So I didn't perform Arnico, so I performed the exact lecture. But it doesn't change much. Okay. So I move along this way, let's say with a limited exact line search or with an Arnico search, and I find out that this is the set again. Okay? So I move here. Now I will take the second iteration. Second iteration is the gradient is done something like this. Okay? So steepest descent goes this way, so the minimum will be reached at this vertex of the rectangle. And indeed, if I do it, yeah, that's x1 bar, yes. And then I will do a line search along this line to get to the new point. And I get this point here. Okay? Probably with Arnico I would get something here. No. Or something here or something maybe here. I don't know. I didn't try, sorry. And this is x2. Okay? And I keep going on this way. What do you imagine that happens? Now the gradient will be done this way. Okay? So when you go along the steepest descent direction, you move this way, and once again you will find that this is the optimosis of this subproblem. Okay? So that you indeed it is there and you go there. And then now the algorithm goes by itself because I don't want to keep pressing the tab. Okay? You can notice a particular behavior. At each iteration, each bar k, the optimal solution of this problem alternates between this vertex and this other vertex. Okay? And it's going that way. And it's getting slower and slower. Why is that? Okay, it's a case of a linear programming problem here. Maybe you remember that the solution, at least one solution of a linear programming problem lies there. Lies where, sorry? Dove sta la soluzione di un problema di programmazione lineare? The solution, at least one solution of a linear programming problem lies in the vertex of the polyhedron. Okay? So it means that in our example we have just four candidates. Okay? Clearly, these two are out of the game. Okay? So it can be this one or this other one. Okay? And so the algorithm keeps switching between the two. Okay? There are some situations in which maybe an optimal solution is not in the vertex, but it's a lucky solution. So the fact here is that we don't have many vertices. So at each iteration we will go one direction or the other. Okay? And indeed we are approaching this point here. No doubt. Okay? But it's going very slowly. Okay? Because in the beginning you were far away. So you could do some reasonable steps. Okay? That you are doing that way. It somehow recalls the zigzag of the gradient method. Okay? Clearly, if I was trying to give you a polyhedron with more vertices, the situation would have improved. Okay? The more vertices you have, let's say the more choices you have for the direction where to point at. But in any case, it's limited. Okay? And indeed, it is well known that this Frank-Wolf method is slow. Okay? Particularly in the case of engineers like. Okay? But actually, it's so easy to code that at least for many years, the engineer did not care okay, too much about advanced optimization algorithm. This was easy to understand, easy to code, easy to use. Okay. And indeed, in some problems, it runs quite well in any case. And let me stop this. We performed 104 iterations, and the optimal, no, sorry, and the current solution is 0.57.005. Okay. Oh, this is pretty reasonable because this value adjustment is zero. We have at least two exact digits. But the X1, the optimal solution, is 0.50, and here we are 0.57 after 100 iterations. So we are still far from a good approximation of the solution. At least, you can never ask less than two exact digits. Okay? Generally, you ask for 3 or 4 things. And also, I computed this quantity here. This quantity here, let me see if I can show it to you. Okay, it is here. Do you see it? Okay, this quantity is F computed at the new solution minus the optimal value, which we know because it's an easy problem, divided by F at the previous solution minus the optimal value. So it gives you the ratio, it gives you a measure of the improvement. Okay? So I can write it here. It is F at xk plus 1 minus the optimal value, let's say F at the optimal solution divided F at xk minus F at the optimal solution. Okay? The closer this is to 1, okay, it is a descent method, so the numerator is less than the denominator. This ratio is always smaller than 1, and it is always greater than 0, okay, because this is the optimal value, so these values are greater. The more this ratio is closer to 0, the bigger improvement you have. The more this is close to 1, the smaller the improvement you're having. Okay? So I computed these values for all the 104 iterations, and it is here. No, sorry, it is in. No, it is comp. Okay. Okay, you see it. Okay, it's always except for the beginning. 0.18 was pretty good. Okay, really good. 0.75, and then you fast go to 90, 97, and so on. Means you are doing very, very small improvements. Okay. There are many studies that show that the method works better and better as the feasible region in the area of interest is rounder and rounder. Okay. So, if in the area of interest here you have a huge number of vertex, okay, the algorithm performs better. Okay, and there are studies which somehow gives a definition, gives a measure of the curvature here, and link the speed of the algorithm to the curvature of the border of the feasible region. And it shows that the more round, the rounder it is, the better the speed of convergence is. And, okay, I don't want you to show this result, but I can give you an example. Let's do the Frank-Wolf algorithm rather than on this box, on the inscribed circle. Okay? So, more round, sorry, it's not a circle because this is a rectangle and not a square, so it is an ellipse. Okay? So, it is this one. Let's start exactly from the very same point. Oh, here I drew less level curves, but okay. So our feasible reason before was that rectangle here that I'm drawing. And once again, if you check the level curves, the optimal solution keeps being here. Okay. You can also say it theoretically because this circle is a subset of the rectangle we had, and the optimal solution we had before is still feasible. Okay. So it has the least value for all the rectangles, so it has also the least value for a subset. Okay. So the solution is still 1/2 0. Okay. And let me run the algorithm. It starts there. The gradient points there, okay. So it goes down. Steeper descent is in this direction here, and we will end up somewhere here. And this is what happens. We get here, we get this as the minimum point. Okay, now I'm not doing linear programming, okay, because this is not a polyhedron, okay. I'm minimizing over a sphere. Actually, minimizing over a sphere is not... minimizing a linear function over a sphere is not that complex. Okay? I think you could also write a formula for it. So it goes here, then we make a line search, and we get to the point there, and then we take the new gradient, which will be this way, so it will end up somewhere here. Okay, so over here, then I take a step with the line search, I get there, and so on. Okay. Yeah. It was fast. Seven iterations, and we did it. Okay. And those ratio were. Were pretty good. The last one was 0.9, but the other were 0.30, 0.50, 0.60. Oh, this was 0.00, so a huge improvement. Okay, I think it corresponds to this step here, which was very close to the optimal value. Okay, maybe trying. I don't know. We could try another point. No, symmetric. I mean, it looks like I've been particularly lucky with the choice. It's possible that with another choice it doesn't go so well. I don't know it, so I'm just trying. Let's say, for instance, let's try to start from here. I don't know if it works, but I don't know. It sounds something like, okay. But if I have time, I can try some other points and not be this lucky. But just was to give you an idea that the trouble here when you do this with linear programming, which you are happy of, you have the trouble that you will end up in the vertices. And if in the area of your interest there are not much vertices, the method is going to slow down a lot. Okay? And if you have round shapes, it gets better. Okay, so I think today we are done a bit early. Yeah, it was exactly the same behavior. So we meet on Thursday, and I'll show you another way to perform these two choices in the algorithmic scheme of feasible directions. Okay? So if you have any questions, I'm here for you. It's pretty early, so there's plenty of time.